You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, that was fun. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the official flagship of the team. Rockets just polished off a 130-123 win at Toyota Center on Monday night against the New Orleans Pelicans. It's the 10th consecutive win for the Rockets. It's their 16th in the past 17 games. Rockets are now 21-4 on the season, clearly the best record in the NBA. It was not always pretty. The Rockets were actually down 13 with under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. They were losing with 3:45 left in the game, 119-117, but they found a way when it mattered. A lot of just an offensive explosion on both sides. So many career highs. Clint Capella, a career high in points with 28, also had 8 rebounds, tied a career high with 5 blocks. James Harden tied his career high with 17 assists, also had 26 points, 8 of 16 from the field. It was a great return to form from Eric Gordon. We'll certainly touch on that throughout this show. Eric had 27 points, only one behind Capella for the lead on the Rockets, 9 of 12 from the field. And then, folks wondering, why is this game so close against the Pelicans? Folks, give them some credit. They shot 18 of 33 from behind the field. That's 55%. They shot 75% in the first half from behind the arc. Rajon Rondo even made 60% of his threes. Folks, I know they were without Anthony Davis, but when you have Boogie Cousins, who had 24, 14, and 8, and then you make 75% of your threes in the first half, 55% from the game, I don't care who you are. If you shoot that well, it's tough to do that against air. Were there times the Rockets could have defended better? Sure there were, but at the same time, first, they made some tough shots, and secondly, I don't care what the defense is, it's impossible to shoot those percentages on any sort of regular basis. So there are some times over the course of 82 games, you have to tip your cap to the other opponent for making shots. I thought that's what happened Saturday night in Portland. I think that's also what happened tonight. Now, certainly, if it keeps happening, then you have to raise an eyebrow as to the level of defense. But right now, folks, I'm going to err on the side of the Rockets are the team we've seen all year long that have been in the top five most of the year in defensive efficiency. I'm not really seeing much of a slippage in terms of intensity. I just think the Rockets have ran into two teams in a row that have made their shots. And so before we get into the analysis, first things first, I don't think this was a matter of the Rockets lacking intensity or a lack of desire or anything like that. I think the Pelicans just made some tough shots. Sometimes other teams do that. Jrue Holiday was 16 of 21. Etuan Moore was 15 of 20. Folks, that's two backcourt guys that are over 75% from the field. And, you know, Holiday was 4 of 7 from behind the arc. Moore was 6 of 8. That's just absurd. As I said, Rondo, 60% from 3. These are guards who are taking the majority of their shots away from the rim. I'm sorry, you can't even do that against air. So, yes, the Rockets defense, I'm sure you can pinpoint, and Mike D'Antoni will certainly do it, because you want to control what's within your control, and the Rockets are never going to be pleased with allowing 123 points for the game. But while I wouldn't call it a great defensive performance by any means, I also wouldn't call it a terrible one. I just thought the Pelicans went out and made a lot of tough shots, and against all but one or two teams in the NBA, they would have won. That's the way this league works. Fortunately, the Rockets are one of the only one or two in the league with the talent to survive a game like that. And to break it all down, I'm going to do it in our basic 3 points recap. And folks, I know it really wasn't his game from the outset, but I'm going to start with James Harden, because to me, this was actually, I would say, his most MVP-worthy performance yet. And if you look at the box score, it's not going to seem that way, because James had 26 and 17, which, yeah, that's really good. Let's also note that he had 6 steals, which reflects his defensive effort. I thought when it mattered in the fourth quarter, James was dialed in on both ends of the court. But 26 and 17, while good, it's James Harden. We tend to look at that and say, eh, that's a B-plus, A-minus game for him. But not that this was an A-plus game from the standpoint of James Harden, when it mattered most, when the Rockets needed him, he stepped up. This is what MVPs do. That's what I said on Twitter when the Rockets went on that run at the end of the game. Folks, the Rockets trailed 119-117 with 3:45 left. And then James went on a personal 12-2 run, scored all 12 points for the Rockets in the next 3 minutes and 11 seconds, had 2 threes, he got to the rim, he got fouled, he scored a multitude of ways. It wasn't like he just got hot. He did everything you'd ask him to do. Even had a couple of steals in that stretch as well. You even saw him using his bulk to defend Boogie Cousins. And I thought this game was particularly telling, because there were times you could see him limping. We all know he bruised his calf. He was actually listed on the injury report. He did play. but he bruised his calf the last couple of minutes of that Portland game when he got kneed in the back of the leg. And there were times tonight you could see him grimacing, especially late in the first half. I believe Cousins sort of rolled up on him. And it was not a game when James was at his normal explosion. Now, he was there as a facilitator, but it looked like James, to me, was in distribution mode. He knew Clint Capela was going, as I said, career-high 28 points on 13 of 14 from the field. But James, he knew for the balance of 48 minutes, I don't think he had his best stuff. And that's going to happen from time to time. Sometimes it's injury-related, sometimes it's just not your night, whatever it may be. But what great players can do, the truly elite, the MVP tier, even if it's not their night, they can find that extra gear for 4 or 5 minutes, especially if it's so-called winning time, and take the team home. That's what James did. Again, a personal 12-2 run in the final, well, it was a 3-10 after the Rockets were down 2 points with 3:45 left in the game. James Harden put his imprint on the game. That's will to win. And I'm actually going to piggyback off that and throw Chris Paul into the same segment, because folks, Chris Paul, he allowed this game to stay within striking distance. Because folks, yes, again, box score night for Chris, 20 points, 8 of 16 from the field, 9 rebounds, which shows you the level of intensity he was playing with. Chris was very active on the glass. James only had 1 rebound. I think that's correlated with his lack of explosion, lack of lift due to the bruised calf. Chris kind of picked up for that. But overall, 20 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals. It's a good night for Chris Paul, but you expect it. It's a top 10 player in the league. Again, it's about putting your will on games in important times. I said on Saturday, when the Blazers had that huge lead up 14 going to the fourth quarter, that was when Chris Paul just kind of made a statement. To me, I put it on Twitter saying Chris Paul has no interest in losing this basketball game. And his play on both ends, getting to the rim offensively, his playing the passing lanes on defense, made it a statement that this was the Rockets game. They would not go quietly into the night. And folks, a game that was tracking very similarly tonight at Toyota Center against the Pelicans, he did the same thing. The Rockets were actually down 13 late in the third quarter, 101-88. And then by the 7:45 mark of the fourth quarter, the Rockets were back within 3. The Rockets had gone from, 101-88 to 111-108, which is a 20-10 run. And of those 20 points, 15 were from Chris Paul. So for all we talk about Chris Paul, the distributor, Chris Paul, the leader, in this case, Chris Paul, the rebounder, the stealer, the defensive player, he was also there as a scorer when they needed him. And that was when James Harden was on the bench. And as I said, with notably limited by the calf injury, in my opinion, as in terms of his explosiveness, they needed a little bit extra from Chris Paul, and he gave it to them. Because that was a stretch. It seemed very clear. The body language for the Rockets was not all the way there late in the third quarter. You could see, especially with the Pelicans shooting threes at just an inhumane clip, that there were some thoughts that maybe this isn't our night. And as happened in Portland, Chris Paul didn't let it. So I'm going to throw him in there with my first point with James Harden, and that yes, they both had excellent overall games. They're both great basketball players. But in addition to all the regular stuff, in addition to all the box scores, folks, they put their will on this game. They showed you a will to win. And I put on Twitter during the game, I said, I don't know of any player in the NBA, in the league now, with as high of a will to win as Chris Paul. And a lot of folks agreed. I had a few people questioning me about it. Folks, I don't care that Chris Paul hasn't been, to a Western Conference Finals or whatever it may be. Because, folks, at the end of the day, your results in this league, especially in the playoffs, beating teams on 7, especially in this era of super teams, it comes down to who you're surrounded with. And you only, finally, Chris Paul has a team around him that's worthy of being judged at the highest level. In the past, you look at the situations he's had in New Orleans with the Clippers, there's no team other than maybe that year when they had a 3-1 lead on the Rockets. And again, there's some sort of extenuating circumstances that the Rockets were dead and buried, if not for Josh Smith and Corey Brewer having the game of their collective lives. Then, folks, Chris Paul, he is as intense as it gets. He has that, whatever you want to call it, that streak, Kobe, LeBron, whatever it is, when he has a certain intensity that very few players in the league can match. And that, to me, is really, really impressive. And as I said, I know the team results aren't there, but folks, it's tough for an individual to do this by himself. But when you have two players with that will to win, as we saw tonight in various stretches from both Chris Paul and then later James Harden, that shows you a psychological element to a team that can be really, really special. Yes, this is a 7-point home win against the Pelicans, in which they had to outscore the Pelicans by 14 in the fourth quarter to get it. A Pelicans team without Anthony Davis. I understand. At the end of the year, you're not going to look at this and say, wow, this was a game where the Rockets really established themselves, like, say, the win over Golden State or the win over Cleveland. But, folks, when you look at the circumstances, especially the players that are likely to drive this team, folks, I would say this is one of the more impressive wins they've had all year, because especially the two lead dogs, they showed you how much they wanted it. And in some regards, given the low stakes, given how much success they've had, given that they were on a 9-game winning streak, were 24 going in, it would have been so easy to say, hey, this isn't our night, that it's okay if we lose this game. Yet they weren't okay. Both of those guys, Chris and James, you could tell they wanted this with every fiber of their being. They were going out there. They would not lose this game. And they didn't. And yes, I know that neither one of those guys has won a ring. I understand that. But again, it's a team sport. When you can actually combine one of those two guys with another guy with that same hunger, and I think that's part of why they're kind of drawn to each other and clearly had some synergies before joining this team, then folks, it makes you, I don't see how it can not make you optimistic for what might be to come when the games get really meaningful a few months from now. Now, that's my first point. I'm always going to lead with James or Chris. In this case, I'll throw in both because, folks, they were the stories tonight. They were far from the only stories, and I mentioned Clint Capela a couple of times already. I'm actually going to mention him in my second segment because, folks, a career-high 28 points, tied a career-high 5 blocks, 13 of 14 from the field in just 24 minutes against DeMarcus Cousins. That's remarkable. Plus 9 in his 24 minutes, and Boogie, even though he filled out the box score, folks, when it mattered, I understand Boogie was a plus 11 too, because certainly Clint took advantage of Omer Asik. Asik in his 12 minutes did not score, had one rebound, and was minus 12. But folks, in the fourth quarter, when it mattered, Capela made more plays than Boogie did. And I thought it was so encouraging, because in the first quarter of this game, I thought Clint looked timid. I thought he looked a little uncertain. I thought, obviously, Boogie, I think he scored 11 points in like the first 4 minutes. The Rockets pulled Clint early. They put in Nene. And this felt like another game where maybe Clint just doesn't have it. For whatever reason, maybe he's not into this game. He's not had the best stretch the past couple of weeks. Maybe Boogie's just a tough matchup. But you can tell D'Antoni put in Nene because I thought he wanted more physicality. And sometimes, in the past at least, Clint has not responded positively to that. This time, I thought he did. Clint Capela went in there in the second quarter. And folks, the intensity, the jam right over Boogie, and that was the stretch in which Boogie lost control. He shoved Clint, and he shoved Ariza. Should have been ejected at that point. But yeah, he made Boogie Cousins lose his mind a couple of times, which is, granted, not always that hard to do on the basketball court. But that shows you, Clint took this game personally. And one of my Pelicans followers, Mason Ginsburg, I believe, pointed out in the fourth quarter, what was his tweet? Something about the intensity of the dunks that Capela was throwing down in this game. And granted, you know, Boogie's not exactly the best rim protector. And Omer Asik, for whatever reason, just looked disinterested. Omer is a shell of himself, unfortunately, what he was just a few years ago. But, here's a tweet from Mason. Why does Capela dunk like you insulted his mother every time? You don't need to pull the rim down and scream every single time, man. I laughed at it, but as I told him, that's the first time I've ever seen Clint that animated. And I like seeing that response out of him. Clint so often is so calm. He's very composed. But at the same time, especially in the NBA, where there's so much physicality amongst big men, it's nice to see a little bit of what I call dog come out. It's nice to see a little bit of raw emotion. Because we all know the athleticism is there from Clint. We all know how smart he is. We know how hard he works. But is he willing, when the chips get down, to get in there and battle, to throw his weight around? As I said, this past offseason, I thought he got better. He had a poor showing early in the series against Oklahoma City, actually against Steven Adams, who's one of the most physical bigs in the league. Finished it off well in Game 5, then played well against the Spurs. Actually, Game 6 against Spurs, he's about the only guy that played well. And, you know, that's a nice showing, albeit in a series that was ultimately lost by the Rockets. And so you wonder, this is year four. This is largely when players are what they are. Is he going to take that next step, not just physically, because, yeah, you want to get better as a player. You certainly want to make more free throws. But beyond that, his confidence, his attitude? Is he going to have that chip on his shoulder that especially a lot of elite big men do, because it just comes with the territory with how much bruising there is around the bucket? And folks, early in the game, you saw DeMarcus get going. You saw him start chirping. You know how DeMarcus Cousins plays. It always seems to get chippy. And boy, not only did Clint Capela not shy away, he played better. He stepped up his game. The more the game got meaningful, the more intensity that Clint seemed to bring to the floor. And perhaps the most impressive part of this, in his 24 minutes, Clint Capela had only 2 fouls. And this is against a guy in Cousins who, you know, every single time, Cousins thinks he moves better from side to side than Clint Capela, and Cousins tried over and over again to challenge Capela one-on-one, to challenge that vertical quickness, and Capela found a way not only not to foul, which is what Cousins thinks he's going to do a lot of the time, he actually blocked 5 shots. A big part of why Capela had that many blocks was because Cousins thought time after time, I'm going to challenge him. He is not going to be able to move with me from side to side. And yet Clint did. He was disciplined. He didn't foul. And in addition to all that, the athletic gifts are always there. Certainly it's nice to see it. But that intensity from Clint, that ferocity on his dunks, I have not seen that from Clint in a really, really long time. I saw it tonight. I would say more than at any point in his career. And yes, it's a Monday game in December against the Pelicans. But folks, with Clint Capela, the talent is there. I think in terms of what takes him from good to great, from good to all-star level, which we've said is one of the key variables for the Rockets this year, attitude, and yes, his attitude there in terms of being a good guy and a hard worker, certainly, but that chip on his shoulder, that's a big part of the package. That's one of those variables that you don't really know. And folks, tonight he showed it, to me at least, more than he ever has. Now for the final point of our 3 points recap, I mentioned the one variable, Clint Capela. Again, career high, 28 points. Tied a career high with 5 blocks. The other variable, Eric Gordon. And boy, you guys have been on him on Twitter for a while. I've seen the responses, some directed at me. Why don't you talk more about Eric Gordon? We did that on Sunday after the Blazers game. And I said, you know, I wouldn't worry about it too much because 10 games out of 82, that's basically been his slump. It started with, I believe, November 12th, and he's been shooting 20% from three the last month. It hasn't been pretty. I haven't been down on him because the explosion has been there. For whatever reason, he's just missed shots. And my theory is get him home, get him back in his usual routine. Maybe you see better results. Boy, did we ever. In 36 minutes, 27 points, 9 of 12 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3, plus 23, which is the best on the entire team. Folks, this is why you don't worry about Eric Gordon in December. I watched him before the game, warming up on the court. The stroke was pure. I don't know what to tell you guys other than simply he made shots. I don't think he did that much differently. I didn't think he had an extra spring in his step because I thought he had plenty of spring in his step already. I don't think he did that much differently in terms of the usage of him. I thought he simply made his shots, many of the same ones that he's missed for a lot of the past month. If you've watched him his entire NBA career, look not just at the short-term trend lines, but his overall averages. Folks, he was going to figure it out. It's a matter of time. The silver lining in this, if you want to be positive, not only did he figure it out, it's a hell of a time to break it up, to break that string and to get it going, because folks, this is the longest homestand of the season. The Rockets are home for the next 6 games. So I do believe in the concept of building a rhythm. We certainly saw that from Ryan Anderson, who, you know, a year ago, we all know the road rhino, home rhino jokes on Twitter, but for whatever reason, even if the backdrops aren't that different, even if you don't buy into the depth perception, the colors of the seats, whatever it may be, then sometimes it can get in your head if you're demonstratively better or worse in a certain location. Well, folks, to get it going at home the way he did, you can see the crowd responded very positively. They knew it was a big game for Eric. And then to have 6 games in addition, the next 6 here, the longest homestand of the year, I think that's a great way to kick it off, because it's not like you're going into a different backdrop. You're going into the same routine, same practice, the same court, the same everything for basically the next 2 weeks. And so, you know, it's a little thing. From one game to the next, he could easily shoot 20% on Wednesday. But all things being equal, yes, I think this is a really great time for him to break out, because in general, while there's no guarantees, I do think more times than not, there is something from the standpoint of continuity, especially when you get yourself in a similar day-to-day rhythm. And so to kick off this homestand, I think Eric Gordon getting going, I don't think he did necessarily anything different other than he made shots, and he was due for that. But I think for it to happen, A, in a game where the Rockets really needed it, and B, at the start of a homestand when the Rockets are going to be here for basically the next 2 weeks, 6 more games, I think those are really encouraging signs for you guys to take out of this. Final couple of honorable mentions. I usually just do a you know, 3 points. When I throw in two honorable mentions, two guys I have barely mentioned tonight, Trevor Ariza and P.J. Tucker. P.J. was plus 21 in his 23 minutes. Trevor was plus 13 in his 38 minutes. Trevor, you know, you don't have quite the same headlines as the runs that Chris Paul, when Chris scored 15 of 20 between late in the third, early in the fourth, and when James had the personal 12-2 run late in the game. But Trevor actually had a 10-0 run of his own early in the second quarter, which was just crazy. But that was sort of a key swing, because the Pelicans went out and they had a 41-35 lead after the first, and this easily could have gotten away from the Rockets. That's one of those under-the-radar, subtle things that keeps the Rockets in the game. And actually, beyond that, the plus 13, I think that reflects his defense, and certainly the plus 21 for Tucker does. Those are subtle little things. Also, PJ had a big three early in the fourth quarter when it seemed like the Rockets were kind of teetering on the brink again. I believe it brought him back within six, and then Chris had another three to bring them within three. But even in a game like this, you say, where did the defense come from? Actually, I thought Trevor and PJ largely played pretty well. I don't think anyone actually played that poorly from a defensive perspective. I thought, beyond the Pelicans just making shots, if you want to critique anything, I'd say the Rockets' rotations were a little sluggish. Maybe the communication was not there. But I don't think anybody played particularly poor from an effort standpoint. It's not like someone was covering for someone else. It's just the communication was a little lacking. But folks, especially in the second half when it really mattered, I thought Ariza and PJ Tucker, their defense really, really shined. And it kind of helped offset a down night for Luke Bamute, who 0-5 from the field, 0-4 from 3, actually went 0-2 from the line. You could just tell that Luke was completely out of sorts, minus 9 in his 21 minutes. And I don't think Luke let it affect his defense. But at the same time, I thought he just became somewhat unplayable because his offense, for a reason, he was so far out of sync. You could tell, again, he was missing so many just wide open threes from the corner, even free throws, shots he normally makes. It was just a bad night for him. And because of that lack of offense, especially when you're losing the game, despite all his obvious qualities, it's hard to play him. So I thought, especially with that, it became very important for the Rockets to kind of lean on Trevor and PJ a little bit more, and thankfully they delivered. And while we can throw Eric in there too, because certainly Eric Gordon, you know, he's a two, but you can count him as a one, a three. In Mike D'Antoni's offense, all these positions are interchangeable to a degree, and Eric played 36 minutes tonight, second most on the team. Eric even played more minutes than Chris and James. Only Trevor Ariza at 38 played more. So I'd say all three of those guys. I gave Gordon the nod as far as my third point, because he's been struggling lately, and it's a great sign. He and Capella are your two variables. Big picture, when it comes to challenging the Warriors, you need as much elite talent as possible. As I've said plenty of times the first 6 weeks or so of this season, Capella and Gordon are your best candidates to get to that elite level. So I'm going to, you know, tiebreaker, I'll give it to them. But folks, I would throw Ariza and PJ right in there with Eric, even though he didn't have the same scoring outburst as Eric. In terms of their overall contributions, you can see it, the plus minus, they were valuable as well. Even in a game where you give up 123 points, you can have important defensive stretches, what the Rockets did in the fourth quarter, limiting the Pelicans to just 20 points. Ariza and Tucker were there. And then, as I said leading off, don't forget James Harden, who also had a couple of key steals down the stretch when James essentially put his will on this game and made it clear that the Rockets were not going to lose. So, as always, thanks to you guys for listening for my 30 minutes of rantings on your Houston Rockets. I so much appreciate you guys for giving me this platform. If you're not already tuning into me on Twitter, where I give more immediate and sometimes even more dramatic analysis during games, please do so at Ben DuBose, or you can follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown Rockets. Also, if you aren't subscribed to us, please do so. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, TuneIn, or if you listen to your audio, just search for Lockdown Rockets. And if you haven't, beyond subscribing to us, please give us a rating, because 5-star reviews, that's the best way we become valuable, seen as valuable to potential advertisers, which is kind of the lifeblood of this show and what keeps this going on a day-to-day basis, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. And of course, if you're interested in advertising with us and reaching our very rapidly growing demographic, particularly of 25 to 50-year-old males, which is lucrative for a lot of businesses, or if you just want to ask me any questions about the Rockets, please do so. LockdownRockets@gmail.com is the email address, and I would love to hear from you. Anyway, happy final from Toyota Center. 130 for the Rockets, 123 for the Pelicans. Rockets now 21-4 on the year, winners of 10 in a row. That ties their longest winning streak from a season ago, and more importantly than that, folks, they've won 16 of their last 17 games. This team is incredibly good. Enjoy it. It's a hell of a ride. And, well, they're back in action Wednesday night. Also at Toyota Center, the second of a 7-game homestand. So you're going to get to see them a lot if you're around Houston. Come out to the gym. It's a really fun place to be. But, yeah, Wednesday night against Dwight Howard, former Rocket. Please cheer him, by the way. Dwight's a great guy, and he gave his all here. So I know there's always a mixed reception, but, folks, cheer Dwight, but come out and cheer the Rockets more so that they can hopefully get their 11th win in a row in what would be their 17th in 18 games. Until then, folks, thanks as always to you guys for listening, and I look forward to talking with you again very soon right here on Locked On Rockets.